Well, this morning, as we get started, we're going to be talking about, is God good? To be honest, most people won't be won to the Lord because of your answered prayers. They'll be won to the Lord because of the pain you've gone through in life and how God helped you to overcome those pains. Because people can relate to pain. Because everybody's got a pain, right? And anyhow, this morning we're going to continue our series on the I Am changes who I am. We've been looking at the seven statements that Jesus made identifying himself as the I Am. Today we're going to look at John chapter 10, verse 11. This is the main text. We'll look at the rest of this in a moment. But just get this thought in your mind, John 10, 11. It says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. If you look back at verse 11, it says one word twice. One word that just kind of shoots out at me. Does it you? It's the word good. You see it? I am the good shepherd. I'm not a shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Jesus is trying to tell us something in that. Jesus is trying to tell us that he is good. It's one of those attributes that we see over and over again in Scripture. Matter of fact, we spent about 10 or 12 weeks looking at Psalms 23, and the ultimate thought of Psalms 23 is that we have a good God. And we talked about God's goodness coming through this psalm to us over and over again. And even though we went through that entire series, and we're coming back to the thought again of God's goodness, you say, Pastor, why? You share again. Because the enemy is really sneaky. He's really crafty. He'll come right back at you and say, is he really good? He'll want to cause you to doubt God's goodness. It's his oldest trick in the playbook. It begins all the way back in Genesis chapter 1 with Adam, or Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve. When you look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it was the first temptation for Adam and Eve to doubt, is God really good? Think about it. Look at verse 1. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals, and the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say to you, you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course, we may eat fruit from these trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it, or if you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman, but God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. What's the serpent saying to Adam and Eve? He's saying, God's not really good to you. If God was really good to you, he would let you eat all the fruit. He wouldn't hold any back. He wouldn't hold this one tree in the middle back from you. If God was really good, he would allow you to eat of it. That's the same temptation God uses with us today. We pray about something, and we don't get it right away. We go, God, are you really good? Because if you're really good, should I have gotten what I prayed for? It didn't seem like the answer came. Is God really good? When we don't get what we think we need, or we don't get two arms and two legs, is God really good? By the way, Satan was lying to them and telling them there was no consequences for their sin. They would eat of the fruit and be like God. But the truth is, there was always consequences to sin. Just like there are consequences to doubting God's goodness. We looked at those when we talked about Psalm 23. When we doubt God's goodness, man, we struggle with anxiety and fear. We struggle with stress and overworking because we feel like we have to provide for ourselves because God may not. Because God may not really be good to me. Therefore, I have to overcompensate and be my own I am. When the answer is, God is my source. And all the good things God provides are his resources to me. You know, they say, a picture is worth a thousand words. And I really wish I was an artist. We did a cool thing for Mother's Day. We went home for Mother's Day, and my oldest daughter got all of those canvases. And we drew a name out of the canvas. And whoever's name you drew in the family, you had to paint their picture on a portrait. I won't bring my picture of Christian to show you today. It was pretty sad. I'm not an artist. I wish I could draw you a picture of a good shepherd with his sheep while I talked about a good shepherd. I wish I had that gift, but I don't. So you're going to help me and use your imagination as I kind of paint this picture of what a good shepherd is like. Because I want to tell you, I grew up in Colombia, and I have no idea what a shepherd does until I really begin to dig into it. There's a great book called As Shepherds Watch Their Flock. It's about a man who spends literally several years in the Middle East with shepherds and their sheep, learning what it takes to be a shepherd. And he writes it in a journal. And it's really a cool read to find out exactly all that's required because, man, it is a lot of stuff. You know, in the Middle East, and especially around Jerusalem area, most of the shepherds did not grow or did not have sheep for food to be sacrificed. Many of them had them for wool that would be sold. So their livelihood was in the sheep. So a shepherd would allow all fall and winter and most of the spring for the sheep to grow long wool. Till literally the wool would cover their eyes and they could barely see through their wool that was hanging down. But once winter was over, they would take it and cut all their wool off so they could then use it to sell. And that would help provide for their families. So every sheep mattered. Because every sheep's wool counted as a source of income for their family. Once the cold winter was over and the cold nights were done, the shepherd would then use the income for his family. But that's why a good shepherd was always faithful to nurture and protect his sheep throughout their lives. Each one mattered. So the good shepherd would sacrifice his own comfort to protect and care for the sheep. He made sure they had safe places to graze. He always watched out for predators like wolves and lions. And he always watched out for thieves that may come to try to steal the sheep. But spending all that time with the sheep, he would eventually, most of the time, name the sheep and give each one a name. Because it took a great deal of love to take care of that sheep. A good shepherd would never allow his sheep to be in the fields at night. He always brought them in. He didn't want to take a chance of them being taken off by a wolf or a wild animal or a thief. In the winter months, when the hard to find food for the sheep to graze, many times he'd have to take the sheep and leave the area he was at and go deep into the wilderness. And find a place where the sheep could graze on the land and be fed. And during those times, man, it was cold at night. And it's hard at night to be a shepherd. Because you have to continually watch the sheep even throughout the night. A lot of times they would look for caves. If they found a cave, they would take their sheep into a cave so they'd kind of be corralled in there. Sometimes, matter of fact, they'd get maybe two or three shepherds would take their flock into one cave, and they would hide in that cave with their sheep for protection. And in the morning time, the shepherd would come out, and the one shepherd would stand over here, another over there, another over there, and then a shepherd would one by one call their sheep, and each shepherd had its own call. And however they called them, they would come and they would gather around them, and they'd automatically divide because every sheep knew the voice or knows the voice of his shepherd. The care required for a sheep is a lot. If you don't have a heart to be a shepherd, I really don't see how you can do it. You got to be an animal lover, and you got to be a sheep lover. Let me just tell you some things a shepherd must watch for. He must watch for broxy. He must watch for kidney disease. He must watch for staggers. He must watch for pneumonia. He must watch for twin lamb disease, for cancer. In the winter, he's got to watch for hypothermia. In the summer, he's got to watch for maggots, scabs. You know, sheep can even climb trees. You got to watch for them because they climb a tree. A lot of times they get caught by their feet and they end up hanging upside down with their feet caught in the limbs of the tree. And the shepherd has to make sure he gets the sheep down. They constantly fall off banks. They get stung by wasps. They get bitten by snakes. They poison themselves by things like ragworts. They're constantly getting their heads stuck in things. Every late afternoon, the shepherd would have to watch and look over each sheep in particular to run his hands through them. You have to be very careful about parasites that get on sheep, because when a sheep gets a parasite on its head, it will literally take its head and bang it against a rock or a tree or something it can find to try to get that parasite off. And it will bang itself until eventually it starts to bleed and have an open wound. And the shepherd has to immediately go to that sheep and find that parasite and get it off. If it gets on a different part of the body, it will just rub up to something until it gets an open wound. Each afternoon, the shepherd would take the olive oil. You know how in Psalm 23 says, he anoints my head with oil? He'll take the olive oil and he'll run it down from his head all the way through his body and run his hands through his body, helping protect it, and then also helping to take care of the sheep with the oil. He would run his hands through his ears, take his eyes and open his eyes to make sure there's nothing in his eyes. It's a lot. When it was birthing season, it was crazy. Because in birthing season, it really required a true commitment and stamina and skill. Because can you imagine when a lamb is being born, when a sheep is giving forth a baby, the shepherd has to help tremendously. The shepherd really has to put his hands inside the mother to make sure the head is in the right direction and the feet come out first, the front feet come out first and pull it through. Many times the mother sheep will not even clean the lamb and get the membrane, all that gunk, you know, when a baby is born off. And so the shepherd has to clean that lamb up. And then a lot of times they'll have difficulty in nursing. And so the shepherd has to help the sheep or the lamb nurse. And it gets to the point where, man, that when the nursing is done, they actually get the thing called, and it's very common for sheep, called anxiety disorder, where they have to be separated, and the sheep, the mom will cry for weeks to even months. And the baby will cry for weeks or months, and the shepherd has to go around comforting each mother and each baby. It's a lot involved, isn't it? A lot more than I ever thought. But once the lambs are born, there's still more that has to be done. But I gave you more information probably you wanted to know about sheep or shepherds today. But I wanted to do that so you can see the constant care. Because when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, those in the crowd, they knew. They knew what it took to be a shepherd and how much it was required of the shepherd to watch over and care for the sheep. It is a lot more than it requires to take care of our dogs and our cats that we have at home. It was a constant thing of every single moment watching them because they were so easily to get themselves in trouble. That's why when God called them, calls us sheep, he's not really doing us a favor, right? Because they really were, they are kind of helpless animals. Really, their only good source of protection is to be with the shepherd. Without the shepherd, they're in great trouble. God's care for us. I want you to think about God's care for us, that God is a good God. Think back to Psalms 23 for a moment. Matter of fact, Case, go ahead and put verse 1 up on the screen. As we read through Psalms 23 again, we remember God's goodness to us. God watches over us. God cares for us. God leads us. God feeds our souls. God delivers us from evil. He's pouring his anointing over us. God has not stopped being good to you and to I. He's still good. Let's kind of look at the psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not, what? Want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside where? Still waters, right? He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for why? Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they do what? Comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall do what? Shall follow me all the days of my life. He's a good God. He's a good shepherd. He takes care of us. He never makes a mistake. He never misleads. He's always guiding us. He's always there when we cry out for him. Now keep that thought in mind as we look at verse 11 in John 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Keep that thought in mind. We're going to come back to that. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they do not belong to him. He isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. And the hired hand rushes away because he is working only for money and doesn't really care about the sheep. It takes a lot to be a shepherd. Like, if you're going to be a shepherd, you almost have to be born into a shepherd family. Grow up with your dad being a shepherd, watching your dad shepherd the flock and take care of the flock. Going with your dad as he goes out in the fields and learning the land, because it requires a great deal. So if you hire somebody to be a shepherd, that's a big risk. It's really hard to find somebody who has all that it takes to be a shepherd, because you've got to have knowledge. You've got to know, number one, how to take care of sheep and all that's required in taking care of a sheep. Then you got to know the land and the area really well so you can know what fields you can graze on and what fields you can't graze on. You got to know how to protect the sheep from the wild animals that may come or the thieves that may come. You got to be willing to sacrifice your life possibly. And then, not only do you have to have knowledge, but you got to have a good work ethic. You can't go like man, I just need a day off, man. It's been rough this week. Can I just get a day? No. Shepherd doesn't get a day off. Shepherd's with the sheep every day, all night long. It requires a good work ethic. It requires being faithful, constant. That's why it was so hard to find somebody to hire. If you had sheep and you had to hire somebody, because maybe something happened in your family, you couldn't take care of them. It was really hard to find somebody who would take care of the sheep. It was hard to find a hireling. And what does Jesus say? Jesus tells the man that it was hard. He says, you know, that when they see a wolf coming, man, they're going to abandon the sheep and take off running. Why? Because then they know they can just go get another job somewhere else, right? I'm not going to risk my life for these sheep. They're not my sheep. I'm just getting paid. And that wolf comes in, I'm out of here. I'm going somewhere else, right? And get another job. That's why Jesus said it's so hard. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he's communicating his faithfulness. He's communicating his knowledge. He's communicating his constant care. He's communicating that he is there watching every moment over our lives, that he never takes a moment off. Notice how he describes it again, verses 14 through 16. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. So here's this phrase for the second time. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. What is it Jesus says twice in verse 11 and verse 15? He says, I will sacrifice my life for the sheep. What ultimately makes God a good God and a good shepherd is he has done what no one else was willing to do. He sacrificed his life for us. All other religions are hirelings. Because all other religions say, if you do these things for me, then you may possibly earn a way to be with me at some point. Christianity through God says, I've come and sacrificed my life. You have to do nothing but receive my grace. Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. So in that evil, bad day, when they took Jesus and they whipped him and beat him and nailed him to a cross, and the sky grew dark and the ground shook, he didn't flinch at all. He didn't say, you know, I'm out of here. As the Father's wrath was being poured down upon him for our sins, no, he's the good shepherd who says, I will sacrifice my life for you. And out of his goodness, he offers us the greatest gift of all. It's the gift of forgiveness. It's the gift of salvation. It's the gift of having our lives changed. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I sacrifice my life for the sheep. You often hear today people say, well, is God really good? when a tragedy strikes, when something happens. Yeah, I hear a lot sometimes as a chaplain. Is God really good? How do you know God's good? If God's good, why did this happen? Why did that happen? You know, I don't have all the answers. I'm quick to say that. But most of the bad things that happen to us, 80% or 90% of them, are our own faults. It's what I find in life. When I begin to talk to people and hear their story, most of it is our own stupidity. But then there are times like it's times like we see with Nick, where it's not Nick's fault. It wasn't Nick's parents' fault. What happened to him would be just like what Jesus told the blind man. This was done for the glory of God. God's going to take whatever negative happens in your life, and he's the only one who can, and turn it to good so that you have a testimony of your God and how good God is in the middle of the difficulty, in the middle of the hard time, because he's your good shepherd. He doesn't abandon you. He doesn't leave you. He is there. He will be your protector. He will be your help. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. And I have sacrificed my life for you. If he does nothing else for me, that's the greatest gift he could give me. Right? I mean, that says it all. You are good because you would be willing to leave heaven to come and die for me. Let's bow in prayer.